Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Could your business survive if suddenly a customer or customers were unable to pay you? And how would you pay your suppliers, your staff, and your expenses if you didn't get paid? Receivables insurance is a valuable tool for business as it can protect a company's receivables from the risk of non-payment. Receivables insurance was first developed and adopted in Europe more than a century ago, but it's only been around for some 25 years in North America. So this week on the Make It Right podcast, we're going to look at how manufacturing businesses can use receivables insurance to protect and grow their businesses. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. My guest today is Kent Paisley. He's a Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance in the Global Crisis Management Division at Allied World. He is also a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. Kent, thanks for joining me.
Janet, it's a pleasure to be here today.
I think you're going to provide our listeners with some really valuable information. So I think probably the best way to start is, can you give us an overview of exactly what receivables, or otherwise known as credit insurance or trade credit insurance, actually is?
Well, you know, you start off with the right scenario. It comes with a number of names: accounts receivable insurance, probably more commonly known as trade credit insurance or credit insurance. At the end of the day, credit insurance is just that, accounts receivable insurance, insuring your receivables against the non-payment of a customer due to insolvency, commercial default, or a political risk event that results in the inability of the buyer to be able to pay their bills. It's a tool that's been around, as you say, for a number of years to help facilitate sales growth in foreign markets or new markets, to assist in borrowing base when you're looking at an operating line or a just discounting your receivables, being able to include a broader base of your receivables. Quite often, you know, banks won't include foreign receivables. So by having them insured, they'll be able to include those into your borrowing base when you're looking at lending. It's a key tool to help facilitate the sale and movement of goods for companies and to allow them to be able to sell on terms more competitive with their customers, with their competition, than straight cash or letters of credit.
Okay. And the other thing, I mean, it's good for business growth. It's good for protecting you. And it takes that fear out when you're not really sure about your customer. If you've got receivables insurance protecting you, you've got somebody in the back end keeping an eye on people, and you can manage your risk properly.
We quite often refer to it as sleep easy insurance. You know, you can trade on a transactional basis with your customer base, knowing that you've got this backstop in the event that something that you're out of your control goes wrong and results in a non-payment issue.
Right. Okay. So in your experience, are manufacturing companies protecting their receivables with receivables or credit insurance?
Yes, I'd say so. I mean, I think as an industry participant, I would always like to see more of it happen, but I think very much so. I think the manufacturing company does understand it. They have a capital intensive business to create the processes and the machines and systems to be able to build their business, and then to be able to create the product to be able to sell. And so any way that they can improve their financing by being able to use the receivables as part of their borrowing, and to be able to expand new markets is very advantageous. And the companies that have adopted it have used credit insurance for exactly that means, and its ability to continue to expand, grow without potentially impacting their balance sheet in a negative way due to a customer default.
Okay. So it's my understanding, or from my experience in Canada, it looks like a company's assets, 40% of those are receivables insurance. So if you have an exposure on 40% of your business assets, that's pretty big exposure that can actually be covered with insurance. So let's be clear on how this can actually work and the type of non-payment risk that is covered by RI. It's got to be a business transaction with limited payment terms, so 30, 60, 90 days. Can you just like expand on that a little bit for me?
Sure. And I think you bring up a good point is, you know, we insure all of our assets, including cash, by the Canadian Deposit Insurance Company. You insure your directors and officers, you insure your key person, key people in the insurance or in the business with key man insurance. you insure your buildings, all those sort of things, your inventory. And yet, as you point out, 40% typically, and sometimes higher, of the asset base of a company is made up of accounts receivable. And more often than not, they're not insured because people don't understand, one, that they can, or two, the benefits of insuring that. And it is, it's very important to protect against that non-payment risk. The result being that if you don't get paid, that's cash flow back into the company that you then need to borrow from somewhere else to be able to fund raw materials, inventory, et cetera, to create the sales opportunity. The transaction will typically cover short-term sales, a whole turnover or excess of loss, various different types of credit insurance will protect you against the non-payment of a customer selling to their customers less than 360 days. Most typically between 30, 60, and 90 day sales of terms of sale.
Okay. So how can a manufacturing company leader look at receivables insurance so they can actually understand the value of this? It's considered, I think, for most people, an expense.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, we've heard, you know, the necessary evil, the necessary expense. At the end of the day, if you plug the accounts receivable insurance into what it can do for your business, and start to evaluate it from that perspective, then I think you'll see a huge benefit to it and realize it's probably more of an investment than an expense. We actually have a number of long-term buyers in this industry that have bought the product without even having a claim paid because they receive so many other benefits from the product, such things as expanding into new markets. So suddenly you're able to sell into, you know, Latin America, where you may not have as much comfort or may not know the customer base as well. You've got the protection of accounts receivable insurance that allows you to be able to excel competitively in those markets and be able to grow that business. That's new sales opportunity that just could be even harder to have in a local domestic market. It gives you that ability to expand that. So the increased sales there, the potential new return and income from that offsets the cost of the insurance. The other aspect is, and it does depend on your banking relationships, but the ability to have a more inclusive borrowing package from your bank with more of your receivables included in that package. Banks will typically look to, you know, insure domestic receivables. They might pick up some of their US or you know, Canadian receivables in that mix, but typically at a lesser rate, unless they find out that they've got insurance in place. And that takes the bank's exposure away from the individual customers and puts it back on the insurance company, which then may be easier for them to quantify. But it allows the manufacturer to be able to potentially achieve a higher level of borrowing from their bank because they've pledged this asset base, which typically makes up 40% of your balance sheet, to the bank as security for that borrowing base. And they're able to get a better operating line, which allows them the ability for more liquidity in terms of picking up more raw materials, facilitating the whole manufacturing process to the sales process. So it's a key tool that does other things for your business long before you have a customer default on the program.
Right. And the one of the values of receivables insurance is that it gives you this visibility into what is going on with perhaps a customer somewhere on the other side of the world that you're thinking of engaging with, or maybe you are engaged with, but your receivables insurance can provide you with a red flag if all of a sudden that business starts to change the way they manage their credit, right? So you would get a red flag from your provider saying, maybe we should take a look at these guys because things have changed in the way they're operating their business.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part. There's a sort of two ways to underwrite credit insurance, and there's the what we call the traditional or whole turnover underwriters that tend to be the credit department for a company. So they provide a manufacturer with the access to information they might not otherwise be able to get themselves, that gives them an insight in terms of the potential risk that they have selling to a market, or quite frankly, providing them information to enable them to sell to a market that they might otherwise steer away from because they just don't have that information. The other aspect of credit insurance is the excess of loss or the non-cancelable market, which tends to go in and backstop the credit department. So you have a solid credit team in-house that's making long decisions or long-term decisions on customers, knows their customer base very well, but they want to start to expand, maybe to new markets, maybe to increase limits. And that credit insurance market will allow you to leverage your own credit appetite and access further information from those customers to be able to expand those relationships.
Right. And the other thing, I guess, that is important, I mean, you might have information on the customer that you're doing business with, but you don't necessarily know who your customer is doing business with, right? So the risk line is actually, it can go quite far back, and this gives you visibility. Like you're looking back at, I have a customer here who I'm doing business with, but I don't know who their customers are. And if there turns out to be a problem with one of their customers, you might gain some insight from that and you are otherwise protected, right? Or do I have that clear?
Yeah, and I think that's very important. And I think in today's world, you have to understand the interconnectivity amongst companies globally puts your customer base at a different risk profile than they might have been 20 years ago. At the end of the day, companies now are influenced. Your customer is not just your customer down the street. It's who they deal with and who they get their resources and inputs from. They're impacted by so many different things than they were back, let's say 60s, 70s, 80s, when they were dealing a lot more, domestically, and you knew where your local supply was coming from, et cetera. Now, you have companies that are just-in-time inventory from foreign markets. Is there trade issues there? Are there trade relationships issues going on? We've got a lot of trade agreements being renegotiated around the world right now. Those are impacting your customers and your customers' customers. And those sort of things can greatly impede your ability to get paid as you continue to transact. And you need to be able to protect against those. Not as easy on a day-to-day basis on your own, but having the insurance there helps provide some of that protection against some of those activities that could impinge your ability to get paid.
Right. Okay. So what are some of the key questions? If I'm a business owner and I'm sitting here listening to this conversation and I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe this is something I need to investigate. What are some of those key questions that business leader or business owner should understand about their risk when they're thinking about approaching somebody about receivables insurance?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, to determine whether they think there's a conversation they should be having is, one, am I looking to expand my business domestically, but I'm comfortable with the limits I have right now and I don't want to take on more? Could credit insurance help me take on a larger limit with the customer to help me expand sales there? Do I see an opportunity in a foreign market, but I'm not as comfortable because I don't know that market as well? Could credit insurance help me evaluate, understand, and therefore provide a level of protection as I expand into that new market? Am I getting the best value for my accounts receivable in my borrowing package with my bank? Is the bank including all my domestic receivables, all my foreign receivables? I have terms of sale that are over 90 days. Is the bank cutting me off at 90 days and I'm not getting full value for my borrowing base? These are all things that insurance can help you with. Then the next question would be is, what kind of business am I? Am I looking for an underwriter who can help me evaluate, assess, and manage customers and effectively be my credit department in some of these markets? Or do I have a solid team that manages this credit, but I want to backstop them and give them the ability to leverage their own credit appetite? And I think doing that sort of a checklist review will point them in a direction that will help them have a conversation with a credit insurer in terms of determining the right program that's going to fit for their business and help them achieve those goals we talked about earlier in terms of being able to grow the business, being able to protect against foreign markets where there might be opportunities, but would be too difficult to compete on a cash or letter of credit basis, or too risky on an open account, credit insurance may be able to help me.
Right. Okay. So I think probably people listening are kind of going, okay, so what's the cost? So what is the average cost versus coverage of a receivables insurance policy? What does it cover?
Yeah. And there's a number of ways of doing that. At the end of the day, the simplest way to evaluate it for most people is to look at the volume of sales that are being insured and look at a percentage rate. And I would say if you're doing domestic sales only, that's Canada, Canada, US, US, US to Canada, Canada to US. We call that all effectively the same as domestic sales. You're looking at somewhere between 10 and 15 cents on per 100. So 0.10% of the sales that you are selling in that market. So if you have $100 million in sales to be insured, 0.1%, you're looking at roughly $100,000. Now, people look at that and compare that to their traditional insurance and say, well, my building's costing me X and my liability policy cost me Y. This seems kind of expensive. But you have to look at what it compares against, and that's letters of credit. And I think you'll find secure terms of payment, like letters of credit and other means, tend to be multiples of that cost in terms of being able to secure the payment that you could also secure through credit insurance. If you're looking at foreign markets, it does depend. If it's a well spread foreign market portfolio with a little Latin America, a little bit of Europe, a little bit of Asia, some domestic and so on, you may be starting to look more at the 0.15% to 0.25%. If you start to get a little concentrated, you will move up. And if you tend to be in some of, you know, some of the, there's a few markets in Latin America that are a little tougher right now, you might be pushing 0.35% of rate on sales. All at the same time, when you look at all that, if you compare that to the cost of other means to secure your payments there, it's still quite inexpensive compared to some of the other options.
And it's probably inexpensive compared to the cost of a loss.
Very much so. The key thing with insurance is it's a as you spend the premium, it's a business expense. It does give you a cap on your bad debt loss. The minute you have a bad debt loss that's uninsured, it goes straight to your bottom line. That's a hit to net income. It doesn't work through the balance sheet quite the same way. It goes straight out of net income. So it's a big hit. And if you're self-insuring, you're 100% at risk, and you don't have the eventuality, if you have a catastrophic year, of being able to protect that. Maybe day to day you can protect your nominal business cost of doing business losses, but if you have that 1 year that comes every now and again in a business cycle, you don't have that hedge, and that impact can be significant to the balance sheet.
So I'm going to throw a curveball here, but if you're a public company, or if you're a company that has shareholders and you're the leader of the company, and you haven't investigated receivables or trade credit insurance, and something terrible happens that like just boots your share price, is there any risk to the board or the business leader in that?
Certainly, very much so. And there is actually some examples out there of recent situations where a company that we know that did buy credit insurance decided not to buy credit insurance. A significant entity went bankrupt, and it hit them. And it was actually in the press that they were hit significantly for this loss. And it did put a pressure, and there was comments for the fact that the board was evaluating and reviewing that, and it had an impact on share price, etc. There are tools out there to mitigate these sort of things. And as such, the board and senior executives should be exploring these to make sure that they've mitigated all potential loss situations that they could have. And again, accounts receivable being far more volatile than they used to be because your customer base is far more diverse and has far more influences, than not evaluating your accounts receivable insurance is tantamount to building your house in a floodplain and not wanting to look at flood insurance.
Yeah. I guess the important thing to remember here too is that receivables insurance or trade credit insurance is available to companies all over the world. It's worth investigating whether you're in North America or Europe or elsewhere. And it is a global marketplace now. And, I was talking to somebody the other day, they said, recessions come now every 8 to 10 years. And we're on that cusp, I think, again. So it's one of those things that people should seriously be considering if they don't have it, right?
Very much so. And we do see the cycles far more frequently than did when I first started in this business. And most definitely protecting yourself as you're seeing slow down and the indicators that are happening is very important. In the meantime, the ability to continually enhance your financing package and be able to expand sales elsewhere also is an ongoing, whether there's a recession or not coming, advantage of the product. But definitely, as we look forward right now and the different influences that we have in terms of trade talks, in terms of supply chain issues and so on, the global market is one that's influencing every manufacturer. And as a result, we look at what's happening today, I think now's a good time to be buying credit insurance.
Great. Kent, thank you very much for giving us an overview on receivables or credit insurance. You've provided us some super valuable insights. Kent Paisley is the Senior Vice President, Accounts Receivable Insurance, the Global Crisis Management Division at Allied World Specialty Insurance Company. So thank you, Kent.
Thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure to be here.
He is also a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. So if you're interested in getting more information, I encourage you to check out Receivables Insurance Canada. I know it says Canada, but it is also providing a website that actually provides really great general information about receivables insurance. So it can give you some clarity on some of the things that you might have questions about. So that's our show for this week. I hope you learned something. For more information on the manufacturing industry, please follow the Make It Right podcast on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and subscribe to our podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman. Until next time, thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.